Grade 6 Conference, Lecture 30. Why Teach Language Arts? If we look at the major aspects of the language arts course, some of which I've already enumerated, working with the subjunctive, that's Rudolf Steiner's strong suggestion, working with tenses, particularly present perfect and past perfect. And also something I haven't yet mentioned, but of which you see examples in the science blocks as well as the history block, the difference between expository and narrative writing. These themes, these topics, all are a foundation for the student becoming comfortable with the interplay of the etheric and the astral bodies. So here again, from a very different perspective, we see this dominant theme coming back again and again, that these are not simply skills, or we could say that skills are a lot more elevated in nature than we might imagine, that this has to do with some of the deepest experiences and the most powerful aspects of the incarnation process going on. And language arts, grammar, are very helpful forces for a youngster of this age. Which leads me to the question that you hear asked now and then in the course of this conference, should this be done by a specialist teacher? I'll give you three guesses as to how I feel about that. Now, you may just want to skip this part, fast forward. Those of you particularly who took part in the Grade 5 online conference where I presented some English language quizzes from the Rudolf Steiner School in New York City for Grade 5, no less. Why do I keep harping on this subject? Number one, because nobody else does. This is not brought up anywhere. Either in trainings and conferences, everyone acts as though, of course, the class teacher is going to be teaching this. That's what I did when I was a class teacher 40 years ago. There's just a kind of obliviousness about this. Or, without there being any discussion about whether it's good or bad, advice is given on what kinds of handouts and textbooks you should be giving your English specialist who's going to come in. And since in larger Waldorf schools, this English specialist truly is an English specialist, it's going to be the high school English teacher who, because of the reduced size of high school classes, has time on her hands to come down and do this. No, it's not to say that you've got an insensitive person who doesn't understand the child. By no means. They're sometimes the language arts teachers in particular are often some of the finest teachers in the school. I'm not necessarily saying that they can't do it because they're inept. I'm just saying that there is a huge difference, a significant, profound difference on the level of soul and spirit when something is taught by a class teacher, that generalist, that person who's not so great at all kinds of things, who may be learning this stuff the night before, as Rudolf Steiner acknowledged he did when he was tutoring people. Big difference between that person and the person who does this for a living, we might say, who knows a great deal about this subject, but does not know your children and does not know how this subject, language arts, the ability to express what one has learned in a whole range of subjects, how this subject is connected to all the other subjects that the student is learning. So once again, I can, you know, as it were, walk against the wind, or a whole range of expressions, against the grain. I recognize that this is happening. I just got a phone call today from a wonderful charter school in California. They are instituting another specialist teacher coming in. It's happening. It doesn't make it right. And it doesn't mean that it can't be reversed. If class teachers would simply assert themselves more, and this is really critical. There are so many issues that class teachers are assertive in that are so trivial. Here's a place where it matters. But one class teacher, two class teachers saying, I want to teach my own class, maybe they'll do it, maybe not. That's not enough. It has to be all of the class teachers in the school recognizing how essential this issue is. Okay, enough of that. Let's go on and see then what it is exactly that we are trying to do with these various topics in language arts. So first of all, let's look at the difference between expository and narrative writing. Now, up until now, the writing that the students have done has been primarily narrative, almost exclusively so. That is to say, they've been describing things in a story-like way. Very often, especially in grade 5, where their memory forces are so strong, they've really been repeating what the teacher brought to them and the way the teacher brought it, which itself, even in a subject like 4th grade zoology, 5th grade botany, the teacher's presentation has been very narrative in nature, trying to couch everything as a story, to really catch the child's imaginative faculties, and also because children in the Waldorf setting are so accustomed to stories, they always will sit up and listen, prick their ears when they know a story is coming. But in grade 6, especially with the advent of laboratory science and the physics classes, now it is important that there be an expository quality in the teacher's presentation. Roberto Trusley, in his videos, will show you how this can come about. And for some of you, this may be a bit of a shock to see the very matter-of-fact, straightforward, unadorned, and untouchy-feely way in which Roberto presents the subject of physics. He will share with you how he would present this to his class, how he would talk to them the day after a presentation. So that will give you a feeling for the very big step that's taken in the teacher's presentation mode, and then you'll also have to see how that becomes manifest in the way in which the children are writing about this. Now, in the physics slideshow that I have prepared, you will see examples of student writing. And with those slideshows, even though they're in a video form, all you have to do is push the pause button and you'll be able to read a full essay, if that happens to be what's there. And I'll also have a few available as PDFs, so that if you're the kind of person who likes to read on a piece of paper, hard copy, you can do that as well. Right now, I'm going to read some excerpts from a narrative piece written by a student in Roman history, and excerpts then from three compositions written in the physics main lesson book by different students to give you a feeling for the different quality of the narrative and the expository. And I just want to say again that on the whole, we could say that the narrative form of writing is more connected to the child's etheric forces. It has to do very much with memory, you know, once upon a time, or and then this happened, and then that happened, and then Krishna overcame the demons by lifting up the mountain, and then Krishna went back to the gopis. There's always this quality of, you know, narrative of something going on in time, which has been remembered perhaps from time immemorial, or at least since the time that the teacher spoke it. So the etheric forces are nourished by this, and the etheric forces are glad to help the child in writing in this way. In expository writing, you really are writing about something that is happening now or that will be happening soon. The most typical form of expository writing in our culture today are instruction books, manuals, how to do something. This comes in many other forms besides writing as well. But this is important to instruct somebody. You could do this as well, because it goes on out there, and this is what you set up to make it happen, this replicable quality of a scientific experiment or demonstration, for example, suits itself well to an expository presentation. So now we are asking that the child's sensory life be very involved. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you smell, taste, touch? And we are asking that the child go out of himself or herself into the phenomena that's right before them. This is the astral body that's out there. The astral body is never more than 50% within us, and in a youngster of this age, it's more like 75% outside of them. So they go out there, not just pulled out hither and thither in the usual distracted and unfocused way that the astral body likes to take us out there in that world, but rather in a focused, careful, scientific way. So this is wonderful that the students are learning to write in a new way and to have a new set of experiences. And here again, language arts is essential. So you don't want this to be too specialized because you want it to permeate all of the subjects that they're learning. So here's a sixth grader writing in the narrative mode. It has been quite a while now since we began working on our fleet of ships. It all began when the Carthaginians started to take over the cities that we owned. We were very angry at them for this. We would have declared war, but we knew that they had a very well-trained navy, and since most of the battles would be at sea, they would win. We first decided then to build ourselves a navy. The only problem was we didn't have any idea of how to build a boat. Then one day a fisherman was walking along the shore and saw a Carthaginian boat drift up. There had been a storm, and all of the men had died, but the ship was not badly damaged. The ship was put on wheels and brought to Rome. There they made another ship exactly like it. And so on and so forth. The Romans Build a Navy is the name of that composition, based on the presentation that I, the teacher, made very accurately, very devotedly, taking that on. And it's a story. It's something that happened in the past. We'll learn later that I think it's actually told by a dog or something like that. And of course, you can get away with that in narratives. Expository things, however, generally cats and dogs are not the best presenters of expository matter. So here's an essay, one of the first written in physics, Brass Instruments. Marvin, Tom, and Joanne each played for us. We observe that all brass instruments have large inner spaces, which gives the instrument a fuller, richer sound. In size, the trumpet is the smallest, and has more of a piercing sound than the trombone, which has a rich sound. The French horn, which is slightly larger than the trombone, also has its particular sound. The French horn is said to be over a yard long if we were to pull it out and extend it. Conclusion. I noticed that all brass instruments have a loud, mellow sound. The French horn has more of a muffled sound. The higher the note, the clearer the pitch. The lower the note, the deeper the tone. So there's the beginning of expository writing. We'll go on in the next lecture to go more deeply into this.